that saline lock was so uncomfortable that they left the room. And I looked at Steve. I was like, I'm having this baby today. I am not leaving. So they're like, we're going to come back at noon, break your water, start you on Pitocin. And I was just like, I don't want that. And being in that mindset of I'm having this baby right now, we drew the blinds, we started moving on the ball, we got the mattress out, we turned on jazz music, we put the lavender around us, and I was able to progress because mentally I pushed myself and pushed myself, and my body finally opened, and like really showing them that I could do this, I think shifted everyone's mindset into just being completely present in the moment. And it could not have turned out better. Like I'm very grateful. That experience was truly insane. And there's nothing in the world that prepares you for when you actually like hear your baby crying and hold them for the first time. It's just, it is a miracle. It's the coolest thing ever.
I'm Cynthia Overgaard, owner of Hypnobirthing of Connecticut, childbirth advocate, and postpartum support specialist.
And I'm Tricia Ludwig, certified nurse midwife and international board-certified lactation consultant.
And this is the Down to Birth podcast.
Childbirth is something we're made to do, but how do we have our safest and most satisfying experience in today's medical culture?
Let's dispel the myths and get down to birth.
Hello, everyone. Thank you guys so much for having me on this podcast again. I am so honored. You guys are the best in the game. So thank you again. I am Taylor Dilk, and I just gave birth 10 months ago to our baby boy, Dallas, and he's just completely changed our world. And I'm so excited to dive in today to talk more about just all the things, pregnancy, labor, postpartum. I currently own an athletic wear clothing called Vitality, which has been so cool. We created it because we truly felt 6 years ago there was such a gap in the industry of creating clothes for everybody and helping everybody feel comfortable and beautiful in their own skin. And so today...
And on the side, you had a baby.
And on the side, just a little side thing, popped a baby out. No, it's been awesome.
Tell us how your story began.
Okay, so story time. You guys, I wrote this out last night, and I remember writing this out like 2 weeks after I gave birth, and I'm so glad I did because reading through it, you truly forget all the little details.
And if you don't do it shortly after your birth, a lot of those details disappear. That's sort of nature's way of ensuring that we do it again.
Well, that's the funny thing too, because I recorded it and I have not found myself to watch it yet, quite yet. I want to someday, but I'm like, I want to have others. So I don't know if I should or shouldn't. Okay. So I got pregnant in 2022. I got pregnant actually the first try. But I will say, I'm telling you that because I also had a miscarriage shortly after, which was extremely heartbreaking. And you guys know how like tough that can be. Unless you go through it, it's really hard to explain to other people how hard that can be on your heart and soul. But we kept trying. And a couple months later, we got pregnant again. And this time, this one stuck. So I got pregnant. And at the time, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. It's funny because I feel like no matter what journey you're going through, you don't really know unless you've gone through it or start to educate yourself. And so I put out on my Instagram, everyone, I need all the resources. I need all the podcasts. What do I do? Help me out. And you guys would not believe how many people told me to listen to you in your podcast.
Wow.
And so I turned it on and I was hooked. It was all I was doing in my free time all day, every day. I was just slipping out for quick little walks and I would put you guys on. I would put you in the shower, put you on. I mean, I couldn't stop. I was so obsessed. So I just want to start by saying thank you guys for everything you do and just being like completely real and unfiltered and so pro what you believe in, because it really helped me get to where I wanted to be with my knowledge and my labor and delivery.
Did you know that you might want to go that direction with pregnancy and birth? I mean, we're not exactly mainstream on all things, and many women are not interested in, you know, giving birth in that empowered way. Or did you hear it and did it kind of like open your mind? You're like, piqued your curiosity, and then you went down that path, or did it just like click right away? Like, this is where I need to go.
It's interesting you say that, because all my life I had envisioned having an unmedicated birth because my mom had one, or had three with us four. She had the epidural with me and she didn't have the best experience. And so just talking with her on like both options, I felt very inspired by her. But I had no idea how to go about it. Like, I had no idea what to even do. So I was like, yeah, I kind of want to go this route. But then after listening to you guys, I was able to actually have the tools to help me advocate for myself, get through it, have the tools. So you kind of helped me prepare for something that I knew was possible in my mind, but just didn't quite know how to get there.
What mental shift started happening for you, if that was how it all began?
Yes. Okay. So it's interesting, because I was at a hospital that, I think in one of your podcasts, you guys had laid out like things to ask your hospital, like when you go in. And so I started asking questions. And one of the things that they had answered was like, oh, our C-section rate is 40%. And for me, I was like, that was a huge red flag and just something that wasn't aligning with what I wanted out of my birth. And so I was like, middle of my pregnancy, having to scramble to find somewhere new that kind of did align with what I wanted, like the midwife route, very pro supporting you for an unmedicated birth. And so I found a hospital here where I live in Colorado, and completely shifted everything. They were like, why are you here? Why did you shift? I was like, well, I want this type of birth. And they were like, okay, we understand. We'll support you. Like, let's move towards that route. I will say though, it is a hospital that has both OB and midwife. So there was a little bit of a split mindset, but long story short, started going to that hospital, felt much more aligned with what I wanted. And I continued the pregnancy. I started getting like a prodromal labor around 6 weeks out. And so I had no idea what that even was. And I thought for sure, like, oh, I'm going to have this baby tomorrow every single day, because this contractions and it's just insane and you've never felt it before. But after, you know, those long 6 weeks, I started to feel like, okay, maybe he's not coming early and maybe he's just very comfy in there. And we finally got to 41 weeks. I went into my 41-week appointment and they switch off no matter what you have, either midwife that day or an OB, which is very, I don't know if that's common.
It is.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So I wish I could have asked you guys all the questions back then, but I went in and she was like, well, we really don't want you to go past 42 weeks. Let's schedule your induction and we'll break your water. You know, if you're not quite there, that's okay. Like, there's just so much risk associated with it. And I know from listening to you guys, all of the things that you've told me and coached us on, but then when you're in the moment, I also felt like, oh, maybe they know what's best. Like, I don't know how to continue to advocate for myself. Like, sure, like let's schedule this induction. But in my heart, I was like, I don't know, this feels so misaligned with what I wanted. And then on the flip side, I was like, maybe I can get him to come early so I don't need to go through, you know, the Pitocin and the water breaking and the things that don't really align. And so I was offered a sweep, a membrane sweep. And it's funny because I have friends that absolutely hate it, but I have friends that are like, I can't even feel it. Like, it's totally fine for me. I don't know if you guys have had that, but oh my gosh, it was not comfortable at all. But I knew like I wanted to do everything and have as minimal interventions as possible. So I did it, went home, started crazy contractions an hour later. And at the time we had just moved in 5 days prior to our new house. So there was workers all around me. And like, I just wasn't able to get in that mindset of like, I want to have this baby today. And I truly believe that affected me, because later that night, the contractions started to slowly go away. Mm. So I was like, shoot. But then our kind new neighbors came in to our house and knocked on the door, and they're like, hey, we have a welcome basket for you. So we were chatting, and I was like kind of contracting, but trying to hide it because I was like a new person. I was like, yeah.
They don't need to know I'm in labor right now.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think it would come off so much stranger to try to hide it, bending over breathing, than just to say, I think I'm in early labor. Why do we make life so complicated for ourselves?
I don't know. Like, why do we feel like we have to be perfect? It's beyond me. But I was just hoping it was a quick pop in, pop out. And then in the middle of our conversation, I felt like a little trickle down my leg.
There we go. Yeah.
Oh, can't hide that.
Now you can't keep hiding it.
Yeah,
right?
I was like, all right, guys, I gotta go. Like, thanks for the basket. We're gonna go inside. And I look at Steve and I'm like, Steve, I think my water broke. And so I called my midwife, and she was like, okay, amazing. You are free to come in now. And I was like, well, can I labor at home a little bit? You know, this is where I'm comfortable. She's like, yes, but you need to come in before 24 hours hits, because it can increase your risk of infection, which I did get an infection. We can talk about that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and this was, I think, an OB that was on staff talking to me. And I was like, okay, I'll call you in the morning if anything happens. So long story short, I wake up, contractions are gone. It's 7:30 in the morning. I call the doctor, and she's like, yes, I understand that happens sometimes, but unfortunately we do have to check and see if your water broke and then start the Pitocin. And so after that call, I sat there and just like started bawling, because I felt like so many things were out of my control. And it's funny, because you start your birth plan and you're like, I'm going to be fluid and I'm going to be fine with whatever happens. But then when you get there, and it's such a big moment in your life, you want it to go the way you want it to, you can't help but feel like so defeated and just exhausted from maybe the prodromal labor, and just your body's just like feeling, again, just so defeated. But I had my moment, and I was like, okay, this is maybe not meant in my path. Maybe I'm not supposed to do an unmedicated birth for whatever reason. I'm going to go in. So we pack our stuff, pack the car. My mom comes over to watch the dogs. We head to the hospital 7 minutes away. I walk in, and the staff is just kind of staring at me like, this girl is not in labor. Why am I offering her a wheelchair? Like, I guess we'll put her in a room. They were expecting me, but you could tell they were just like, okay, just going through the motions.
I want to make sure we're understanding.
Yes.
You were talking to the neighbor and you sort of felt like you were in early labor.
I did.
How much later is this? And it wasn't feeling any different, or it went away?
It went away. So I don't know. I really feel like you can, at least for me, this is what happened. I put myself into labor the next day by just being in that mindset and like really doing all the things to get my body prepared. Then he started to come. But the day before, I just was like, there were so many things happening around me. We had just moved in. There were so many people.
We should touch on that for a moment, because you're exactly right. That is exactly what happened.
Yes.
In early labor, the nesting instinct starts to kick in for a mother, and she needs to be in a quiet, safe space for that to move her labor forward. When there are interruptions, even going to the hospital, but definitely moving recently, not feeling settled in your home, having a brand new stranger neighbor come over, feeling uncomfortable about what they're witnessing, all of those things are going to put your body into more of that, fight or flight mode and slow down and stop your labor until you get into that space where you can feel relaxed, calm, trusting, secure, and safe.
Your body knows.
It goes back, it's not going to happen. It just keeps kind of start and stop.
Do you think that's why too, like, my mindset was like, I want to be in this house. I want to like not have this baby right now. Do you think that affected me going past my due date and me like, you know.
I would definitely say it influenced it. The baby has a big role in this too. Baby has to be ready. Baby is a big part of triggering labor, but the signals come from the baby and then the mom's body needs to be responsive. So if you weren't in that space, then yeah, you can kind of halt it.
Yes. Yeah.
And the other way the way it also plays into it is that your mind, your thoughts secrete hormones in your body. Your thoughts affect your physiology. Your thoughts can make your blood pressure change. Your thoughts can make you happy. Someone can say something loving or romantic to you and your entire physiology changes and your body opens. So the way nature has kept mammals protected all these years, we've been giving birth basically outside for 3 million years, is that if the mother had a single fearful thought or experienced tension or stress, her cervix would tighten and the oxytocin would go down and catecholamines would be secreted instead, which tightens the cervix and prevents her from lying there helplessly if a predator is nearby, say. So we have to be in a place mentally and emotionally, and it's not uncommon to show up at the hospital and suddenly to feel like labor isn't in progress anymore.
Hey there, all you amazing, strong, and beautiful women, especially you new moms and moms-to-be. I'm Taylor, co-founder and CEO of Vitality.
And I'm Taylor's sister, Chloe, co-founder and chief design officer. We started Vitality to encourage and empower everyone to live a vibrant life. We're all about supporting women, especially on the journey to motherhood.
When I was pregnant, I really struggled to find comfy leggings that I could wear all day, every day. So we set out to make the best maternity pants out there. We took those pain points and designed pieces that were supportive and comfortable, including details like a high-rise fit, underbelly seam, raw-cut hems, and to top it off, we have an embedded silicone panel that acts like a built-in suspension system for your low back, which is the first of its kind.
So we designed this line in our Marshmallow Soft Cloud 2 fabric in not only a maternity pant, but a volley and biker short as well.
Let me tell you, all of these pieces are a game changer.
Just go to shopvitality.com.
And cherry on top, you guys can use code DOWNTOBIRTH at checkout to get 10% off your order.
10% off athleisure, designed for pregnancy, during pregnancy.
Down to Birth is sponsored by Postpartum Soothe. Recovering from a vaginal birth takes many women by surprise. Everyday activities like sitting, walking, and going to the bathroom can be uncomfortable. And Postpartum Soothe is just the remedy to support your healing and relieve discomfort. Postpartum Soothe is a 100% organic herbal blend that's applied to maternity pads in the days immediately following your birth, giving you all the benefits of a sitz bath 24/7. That's because herbs like comfrey leaf, uva ursi, and witch hazel are known for their antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory properties. Postpartum Soothe can be prepared anytime during the third trimester, and it makes a beautiful baby gift. It's a must for any woman seeking a faster, easier recovery from a vaginal birth. Visit postpartumsoothe.com. That's postpartumsoothe, SOOTHE.com, and use promo code DOWNTOBIRTH. Did you know that 97% of women take a prenatal vitamin, yet 95% of us are still deficient in key nutrients for pregnancy and postpartum? After a long time searching for the optimal prenatal nutrition product, we bring you Needed, a radically better prenatal vitamin. Needed's nutritional products offer nutrients that your body can utilize with doses at optimal versus bare minimum levels and are available in capsules and an easy-to-take vanilla powder, perfect for those moms with pill fatigue or nausea. Needed is a woman-founded company offering a superior nutritional product lineup backed by research, data, and insights from nearly 4,000 women's health experts. Needed offers premium supplements for every stage, from egg quality support for women trying to conceive to lactation support for breastfeeding. And you know, Cynthia and I, we love their botanical sleep and relaxation support packets before bedtime. So if you are looking for a radically different prenatal, head on over to thisisneeded.com and enter Down to Birth for 20% off your first order. There's a very delicate balance between the interplay between the oxytocin and the stress hormones. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the oxytocin has to rise up and the stress hormones have to decrease. But when a provider tells you that
you know, your baby's in danger if you don't come in 24 hours, or that going past 42 weeks is going to have a really high risk of something horrible happening. Now, you know, oxytocin decreases and stress hormones come up. And
I guess looking back, that's interesting. I didn't think about the hospital telling me these things, moving in and trying to get everything done before baby, neighbors showing up. I mean, I guess now looking back, I think this next pregnancy, I know what to do to help move things along faster. But it is crazy how much connected your mind and your soul are to giving birth and the timing of it.
Well, if you think about it as the other side of having sex, of conceiving, it's the same exact body parts, hormones. Your brain is the most sexual organ by far. Sex would not be the same with every single man on earth, let's say, right? The brain is either welcoming it or absolutely refusing it. And it's the same relationship between mm-hmm. the mind and the body. It's fascinating. So when a woman really is excited to have sex, feels loved, feels a very deep sense of trust above all emotions, her body completely transforms and opens for sex. Her body changes as much as a man's body does. We don't appreciate it very much, but it does. And we need to open that much for labor to work optimally. It'll happen either way because the baby needs to come out, but it's either smooth and comfortable and an easy flow, or there's a lot of resistance and even pain because the body can be resisting it because she doesn't feel safe enough.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side of the sex conversation, if you're into it and then something scary happens, or somebody opens the door and walks in the room,
yep.
or
it's off.
Your partner says something mean, like,
yeah,
you're like, done, over
during sex.
Yeah, like, for sure. There goes all the, you know, the desire, everything shuts down, stops, and yeah. It's over.
Yeah. Like if someone walks in, yeah, it's a, yeah, like, if it's you like think your child is walking in the room, it's like, and it's gone.
Right. Oh my God.
Not gonna happen.
Not happening now.
Not gonna happen tonight.
Maybe it'll happen later tonight. Maybe it'll happen tomorrow. It is exactly the same thing with labor.
Yeah. That's so wild. I mean, we're not really taught that or told that or anything until you actually go through it and see how much your body does shut down. It's insane. Insane.
Remember, labor has been taken over by the system, by the patriarchy over the last 100 years. We're not supported in believing that this is how it's supposed to go. It has, since the 40s and 50s, we have wanted to manage a woman's labor. And if we're managing it, we can't let her be in her flow. We're kind of dictating and controlling. And
mm-hmm. That's exactly what you guys did for me, was give me the tools and the mindset and the comfortability to get through this, because everybody around me and then the hospital that I was at was teaching me something completely different. And it's hard when you haven't been through pregnancy and you're a first-time mom. You don't know what you don't know unless you have influences around you that actually tell you the real truth of it. So that's what you guys gifted me. But it is interesting because when I got to the hospital, I got that saline lock and they checked to see if my water broke, and it hadn't. But that saline lock was so uncomfortable that they left the room, and I looked at Steve. I was like, I'm having this baby today. I am not leaving. So they ended up sweeping me. They're like, we're going to come back at noon, break your water, start you on Pitocin. And I was just like, I don't want that. And being in that mindset of I'm having this baby right now, I was able to get my body from a 2 centimeter all the way to active labor by 10:30. We drew the blinds. We started moving on the ball. We got the mattress out. We turned on jazz music, we put the lavender around us, and I was able to progress because mentally I pushed myself, and my body finally opened. And it's crazy to think that, because you have to like make the decision of having that baby. And that's what I did. And I was able to get there. So at 10:30, they came in, checked me. I didn't want to know the number because I didn't want to be discouraged if it wasn't progressing fast enough.
Definitely.
So I agree. Yes, exactly. So Steve,
not helpful.
It's not helpful if you know you have hours left and you're just like, shoot.
I remember saying, my midwife said to me during my second birth, do you want me to check you? And I said, no, because I can't bear to hear anything but 10. I didn't even want to hear you're nine and you're getting close. I was like, if I hear it. So I said, no, don't even check me. I don't want to hear about it.
The other important thing to remember is that it doesn't matter what the number is. Like, it's kind of useless information. If you're seven, your mind, of course, is going to think, well, it took me this long to get from 2 to 7. So it's going to take me this long to get from 7 to 10. And no, that's true. You could be 7 and then you could be 10, 30 minutes later.
Progress fast. Exactly. And that's what I learned. There is really no point. I think maybe looking forward, that's not something that I'll utilize because it just is uncomfortable. And then it's like, why am I doing this? And also I did get an infection postpartum. So I wonder if all the checks did make me susceptible to that. And it was terrible. It was like, I was on the bed for 8 weeks after, but moving forward, I don't know if I'll do that.
Wait a minute. I have so many questions building up right now. Just quickly before we put that aside, do you know what kind of infection that was?
I don't know, but it lasted for like right after labor, I got it.
I mean, Tricia was nodding the whole time. It definitely could have been from those vaginal exams. Tricia, why don't you jump in there?
Yeah. I mean, anytime we don't just get infection from GBS. GBS is just the one that has the most impact on a baby.
Right.
But there are plenty of bacteria that can ascend into the uterus, especially through vaginal exams and breaking bags of water. That's how we get it's called chorioamnionitis. It's an infection of the amniotic sac.
And it has to be introduced into it, Tricia, right? A woman can have her membranes released for days and she's fine. Even ACOG is fine with that. But if someone goes up inside of the vagina, they can bring in the...
Right. That's how the bacteria ascends
right. Most
of the time. Yeah. It's not impossible to get an infection with no vaginal exams. It can still happen, but it's much, much less common.
Okay. And then Taylor, a couple of other things. First of all, your doctors were super high intervention. Like this whole talk of like, they really like breaking the water. That's an intervention I have a very hard time with. And it's really not justified virtually at all. But you had a little bit of amniotic fluid leaking when you were speaking to your neighbor. And now we're hearing that your membranes were intact. They can kind of seal up again. Do you think that's what happened? Or did you have more to say about that whole thing?
Yes. Yeah. So when I went in, the first thing they did, saline lock, let's check and see if your water broke. They checked and it wasn't broken. I think maybe some had trickled out. It was definitely defeating to hear, but I knew that I didn't want to leave. So I think I agreed to the water, the breaking of the water and the Pitocin, because I think mentally I knew I could potentially get myself there before they came in. But I am someone that just like, I don't face it until I'm in it. And so I was like, okay, yeah, sure. Let's do this. Where I knew if it got to noon and I didn't want to, I could potentially like back out.
Finding the perfect pregnancy and breastfeeding bra is no easy task. Your search is now over. Meet Davin and Adley, a mother-owned pumping, nursing, and maternity bra company with a unique, comfortable, and stylish cropped cami. This item is perfect to wear all day long from day one of your pregnancy right through the end of your breastfeeding journey and probably beyond. The Amelia cami makes pumping and breastfeeding easy while looking and feeling good on your body. It works seamlessly for both wearable pumps and flange pumps, and you can breastfeed in it. It also has a beautiful stretch lace back. You can sleep in it, dress up in it, go out in it, whatever you want to do in it. And trust us, the quality in this item and all of their items are top notch. They're soft, durable, and attractive. These bras will truly go the distance. Davin and Adley carry a gorgeous selection of maternity and nursing wear, and they have an innovative one-piece breast pad that we've never seen anywhere else. So no more losing those solo breast pads, ladies. Go ahead and check out the full collection of maternity and nursing items at davinandadley.com and use your promo code DOWNTOBIRTH to save 15%. All right, breastfeeding moms, do you want to know one of our all-time favorite items for your nursing journey? If you know us, you probably could guess it. Yep, it's the Silverette Nursing Cup. These little nipple heroes not only protect, but also heal because they're made of real silver. It is naturally antimicrobial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory. These little cups will be your best friend in the early sensitive weeks of breastfeeding your baby.
And our favorite part is they last literally forever. You can pass them on just like you would a favorite piece of jewelry. Head on over to silveretteusa.com and use promo code DOWNTOBIRTH to save 15%.
But yeah. Can I add one more thing there? Because I'm not sure if you know this. So I want to say it in case you don't know it. I want you to be informed for the next time and anyone who's listening. Are you aware that for the majority of women, their membranes do not release until after they're 10 centimeters?
Seriously?
Yeah. Because it sounds like you were thinking, oh no, then I'm not in labor. And most women go into labor full on with their membranes completely intact. Think about it. It's really common sense. Once we think about it, it suddenly makes sense to all of us, but we don't think about it. Picture yourself 10 centimeters. The head is there with the amniotic sac around it. The baby now has to break through it.
So true. Man. So true. I mean, that is actually, I believe what happened is when bag didn't break until later.
Yeah. And that's normal. That's common. And it sounds like they were indicating, oh, you're not in labor yet, which of course isn't the case at all. They were happy with those amniotomies at that place. They talked about it a lot. It's really odd.
Trisha, you can also have a four bag that breaks. It's just like a smaller little like bubble on the top of the sac that breaks and leaks just a little bit of fluid, or you can have like sometimes a small leak that's sealed back over. But right. To Cynthia's point, regardless of when your water breaks in labor, some people it breaks at 5 centimeters, some people it breaks in transition, some people it doesn't break until the baby is born. Those are the babies that are born in the call. It has nothing to do with the status of your labor.
Got it. So
being told that your water isn't broken means absolutely nothing about what's happening with the progress of your labor.
Right. And it's interesting too, because the person that was controlling my birth at the beginning was a different person that got there at noon. So the person that was telling me to do the breaking of the water and the Pitocin was the OB, but the noon gal was a midwife that I had met one time before, which in the future, I'll probably do something different, but completely different mindset, completely different tactics.
That is crazy. How do these people end up working together? That's so unfair to the client. I mean, you should have a clue as to what the philosophies are of your practice. And it shouldn't be a complete and total crapshoot as to who's on call.
1,000%.
I mean, normally you hear of midwives who partner with OBs as being kind of more medical midwives. They're all on the same page. It's great that she wasn't, but it's bonkers that she came in with a complaint. Oh no, you have nothing to worry about. Everything is fine. That can make us go a little crazy. And it's not fair because then you have the stress of wondering who you're going to get.
Oh, 1,000%, just depending on the day.
It is a perfect example of why continuity of care is so important, because when you're having continuous care with the same person, you build a trusting relationship with them. You can count on what they're going to say. You know that what they say is true. You know that when they tell you something, they're going to stand by it. When you constantly have people changing direction, changing philosophy, changing practice, it's very confusing and difficult and not as safe. Honestly, it's just not as good of care.
And you're not as comfortable. Like, how am I supposed to be open of birthing a human with someone that I've never met before that I'm putting full trust in? So I think at that point, it was the better option of the two hospitals that I was looking at. And I had an amazing experience and I loved the midwife, but that's one thing I would love to have in the future is the same person knowing exactly everything about me. Cause I'm like, I'm not someone who's like completely an extrovert either, where I'm going to just perform this birth in front of a random person. So that's also a difficult thing for women to just be completely vulnerable in front of people they don't know. So I don't know if that's normal practice, but I was just rolling with it.
That is pretty much the standard of the hospital system. The way to get continuity of care is mainly through home birth, because hospitals have call schedules. Practices that birth in the hospitals have call schedules. And there are a few practices like birth centers and some practices where the midwife will kind of commit to being on call for their client whenever it is, but that's tough to find.
I love that. It is tough to find. It's tough to find. I think next time I know the things I love, the things I want to change. That was a weird one.
Was noon and the midwife. Okay. And that was good news to you, right? You saw it wasn't the doctor. It was somebody new.
It was the nurse came in at 10:30. That's when she checked me. And then she held up behind my back as I was laboring showed Steve a five. This is what Steve told me afterwards. Showed Steve a five and walked out. And then at noon, I don't remember this. It's all a blur. But Steve said they walked in. The midwife came in, which was a new care. And she checked me again. Or no, she didn't even check me. She looked at me and said, we don't need to do the Pitocin. We don't need to break her water. She's in labor. And then walked out. And then I just kept going and going and going. And I think just that part of the day is a huge blur to me. I remember because I took footage of it, what happened, but all I wanted was jazz music. All I wanted to be was on my hands and knees, gripping the floor mattress and having Steve by my side. And that was really how I got through it. Just breathing, breathing, breathing. And I remember around 3:30, I was starting to get really, really tired, but my contractions were 1 or 2 minutes apart. And all I wanted to do was nap. And I look at Steve and I'm just like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I think I want to get the epidural. Like, I'm just in so much pain. Help me. And he's like, Taylor, you can do this. I know what you want for your birth. You're the strongest person I know. Like, you can do this. Push through. And so I think that by having a support person by my side who supported exactly what I wanted was so strong, and it's what helped me get through, because doing it alone or with someone that's not aligned with you and your goals would be a completely different story. I needed that support right when I needed it, and he provided it to me. And so I kept going, and my mom came at 3:45-ish to drop off Chick-fil-A, which it's funny because I was like so adamant about eating during my labor and delivery. I was like, I was like telling the nurses, I will be eating, I will be drinking. But then when you're in it, I was like, I couldn't eat even like a chicken finger. Like, it's not just the easiest
labor food. It's
not the easiest, which I don't know if you guys have.
I mean, Chick-fil-A is amazing.
But yeah. But you want something quick. You need carbs. You need something. You can't be there chomping.
Something you don't have to chew on.
Yeah. And also protein, anything with protein takes like at least 4 hours to digest. And if you have produce, it takes like 20 to 40 minutes to digest. So if you really want quick energy and enzymes, you really want to eat a quick
fresh cut watermelon.
Orange. Watermelon's amazing for birth. Coconut water, watermelon, oranges. Like, those are the first things to try. And if you're really hungry because it's a long labor and you need a meal, then sit and have a whole meal. But always go for the quick enzymes, the quick nutrients.
That's
yes, one. You get them in minutes. Yeah.
In minutes. And yeah.
And then your body isn't busy digesting. It's done digesting. It can go back to the work of, you know,
birthing the baby.
Right. It takes energy as well, turns out.
Chick-fil-A would work in early labor, just not when you're in active labor.
Yeah. Active labor, you don't really know that you're not going to really have that time to eat. Between contractions, you're like, chew, 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 chew. Oh my gosh. You know, it's crazy. So looking forward, if there's anything anyone's listening to right now, watermelon, that sounds good.
Coconut water.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Just start with those. See if it satisfies you. You can always have more after, but more different food after.
I love
it.
Okay.
So what happened from there?
My mom, I was not adamant about anybody being there except Steve and I. I was like, I just want it to be Steve. I want it to be so special. But then my mom got there and I don't know if I felt a sense of like security, felt a sense of with her being through it, she could help me get through it. But I wanted her to stay. And I like kept holding her hand and Steve's hand and the two working together. Cause you know, Steve only knows what he knows. He's never seen childbirth either. So while he was so amazing, I think also having someone that's been through it was really helpful for him too. So they were bouncing off each other. They were helping me get into different positions. And I really firmly believe that your support system is the thing that helps you get through, at least for me as a person who needs like that affirmation, like love language.
I also just think it's also so beautiful how men can give us strength and women can give us strength, and they can't do it for each other. There are times we want the big, strong arms around us and the chest to lie on and that feeling of physical security. with a man, but we absolutely get so much strength only from other women. And it's something he isn't supposed to be able to do. It's okay that he can't, but we get it from women. And it makes sense that we birth with women, and we have through history. It makes sense that they're with us when we're breastfeeding, when we're birthing. We get so much strength and comfort only from women in that regard. It makes sense that you got something from each of them that the other one couldn't give you.
That's so true. Cause that's something I didn't think about. Like, I thought Steve would be that only person I need, but there is a sense of like, you don't quite know exactly what I'm going through. Do you know that I could get through this? Because you've not been able to get through it.
He's not a woman.
Exactly. Whereas this person has done it before. So just knowing that she's done it really gave me like confidence and security. So the synergy was really great. The nurses that came in that day, I think there were three rounds, I was kind of vibing with, kind of not really vibing with. They weren't really, I think when you go into that type of environment, you say you want an unmedicated birth, they don't really believe you, because I think that a lot of the times people say it, but it doesn't go that way. And so they were like, yeah, okay, that sounds good. But as I started to go through it, I started to get a little bit better support through the nurses. And they're like, hey, do you want something to take the edge off? Do you want, is it nitric oxide? Is that what it's called?
Nitrous oxide.
I was like, yes, like, let's try it. I've heard from my friends that it's great. Let's do it. So I was breathing it in between, but then 1 minute later, I felt extremely nauseous. So they came in and they were like, do you want some Zofran to help with the nausea? And I was like, sure, but only half a dose. Just like so adamant about Zofran. Don't know why.
This is just so classic. They give you one thing and then they need to give you something else to temper or like to take the edge off or to balance the risk of the other thing. And
to mitigate the side effect.
To mitigate the side effect. Exactly.
Exactly. Which my body was not driving with that until I got the Zofran. Honestly, I'm really happy I did both. Personally, I was open to it going into the experience. And so I think that's also what helped my mind. I was like, yes, I kind of knew I might do this. So it did help me get through those contractions. I don't know because it was like a distraction or what, but it really helped ease a little bit of the pain. By that point, I think it was about 7 PM and I started to just feel very exhausted. I had been laboring since 8 a.m., I believe, or trying to get into that labor. Active labor started at like 11, but it was 7 and I started to get really exhausted. So I was just praying that we were close, and I had no idea because, of course, I didn't know how far I was dilated, but I remember like laying my top of my body. I was standing, but my top of my body was like laying over the bed. And I looked down, this is a little graphic, and I saw a couple trickles of blood on the floor. And I know that's probably might sound weird to people, but for me, it was like a spark of energy and a spark of like, okay, he is coming. Like, this is close. I can do this. It gave me a jolt of motivation and energy to actually get through it. So
it was a little sign from your body that you were progressing. And that was exactly just all you need in labor are little bits of encouragement to just get through the next one.
It makes it feel real. You know, we're in labor and somehow we're so in our body and what we're feeling, we really lose sight of the fact that there's a baby in labor with us who's on its way out. It's like the little drop of blood is like, there's a lot happening in here and something's coming out. It's like, it's on the way out. Did it kind of feel that way?
Oh, 1000%. It's like, oh, wait, yes, I'm again, so in my body and you're so in the experience. But then that little thing of like, oh, there's another human coming, like you can do this, is right when I needed it, which is wild. And again, another God thing. So I kept going. We're doing all these different positions. And I think around 7:30, all of a sudden, I felt a lot of pain and I like felt like I couldn't get through it. So this magical nurse came in. She was the nurse of the day that I really felt very connected to. And it was perfect timing because she was who I needed the most nurse-wise, because she really understood what I wanted out of my birth. And just completely the energy that we had together helped me get to my end goal a lot better. So I think between Steve, my mom, and her at the end, it was huge. she realized that Dallas was sunny side up. So what she had Steve do was counter pressure, take my hips, raise them, and all of a sudden Dallas flipped. And I was so happy at that moment. 20 seconds later, I literally started, like, my body started pushing. So I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it's happening. I want to push. And they're like, hold on, hold on, hold on. We're not quite ready. The midwife comes in and we start doing it. We start going in all these different positions, no matter what my body was liking. We tried sideline. We tried like on the floor. We tried holding a pole. And we just started to really kind of work with my body. And something I found interesting was when they would tell me to push every single time, it was never aligned with my body. I was like, I'm not ready. Like, I'm not pushing. And then I would only push when my body felt that involuntary pushing, which is wild. Cause I know that if I had the epidural, I wouldn't have quite experienced it to that depth. And so when they would tell me to push, I just would kind of like tune it out and do my own thing and work with my own body to kind of like breathe through and really like push all the way through down my body.
That's great. Important.
Yeah. Yeah. Very important. And then I think towards the last 5 minutes, I had one push and I was just getting really exhausted. And the midwife could tell that I needed like extra support at that time. So she took Steve, she was like, go behind Taylor and support her on the bed. Cause I was like sideline on the bed. So she had him go behind me to like hold me, which was really cool and a great experience. To just like really, I needed a physical touch, I think, at that point, and strength. And so I did one final push and his head kind of like got stuck. And I didn't know if I had it in me, but I gave one last. And then all of a sudden he came out, held him in my arms and just bawled. It was really beautiful.
And he went straight to your chest and you got your skin to skin.
Yep. Skin to skin, straight to my chest. He let Steve cut the cord. I think like a few minutes after, he latched on really easily. And honestly, I could not have asked for a better outcome. Everybody in the room was working on the same energy, the same goal. No matter, it started off completely different, but having just like working with everybody and having everybody know what I wanted and like really showing them that I could do this, I think shifted everyone's mindset into just being completely present in the moment. And it could not have turned out better. Like I'm very grateful. That experience was truly insane. And there's nothing in the world that prepares you for when you actually like hear your baby crying and hold them for the first time. It's just, it is a miracle. It's the coolest thing ever.
I think the turning point in your story was the moment when you closed the blinds, put on the music, got out your scents, and you made your space safe for you. And from there, it just kind of was a smooth sail.
1,000%, 1,000%, which I like, you can only say so many times your body will work with your mind and stuff, but until you actually experience that, your body completely doing what it's meant to do when you feel safe and you feel ready. It's insane what your body can do. And I think before going in, I wanted to make sure that they allowed the tools that I wanted, had the tools that I needed. And I had to make sure that if it was a hospital birth, it was as like natural as I could make it.
So I liked that all throughout your birth, and even late in pregnancy, you really listened to your intuition despite what they were saying to you, even to the end point when they were telling you how to push and you still weren't listening. And it also seems like you were identifying things that you learned. I'm trying to gather in my mind all the things you learned from this very good experience. You learned that you would seek continuity of care next time. Yep. You learned that you want to listen to your body leading with your pushing. What else would you say you learned from this birth you would take into your next?
I would say that life throws weird curveballs at you. Did I expect to move in 5 days before and have our house delayed? Like all these things I didn't expect. But I think the next one, having my life be as calm as I can make it, at least like a couple weeks out from my due date, I think will be a game changer, because now I really do know that your body and your mind work together. And if something is off in your life, your body's not going to respond. It's not going to get to where you want to go. So like making the conscious effort of having a little bit of a relaxed life around me will help progress things to get to where I want to go. I think too, just knowing like before you go, when you're a new mom, when you're pregnant for the first time, you get all these outside voices that think they know better than the mom. And now going through it, I knew all along what was the right choice for me and my baby and my birth and my body. And so I think moving forward, standing a little more firm that I know what's right, because I have that confidence now, it will be a complete game changer for the next one.
Thanks for joining us at the Down to Birth Show. You can reach us at Down to Birth Show on Instagram or email us at contact@downtobirthshow.com. All of Cynthia's classes and Trisha's breastfeeding services are held live, online, serving women and couples everywhere.
Please remember, this information is made available to you for educational and informational purposes only. It is in no way a substitute for medical advice. For our full disclaimer, visit downtobirthshow.com/disclaimer. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, hear everyone and listen to yourself.
You guys, like, I know you're, this is your, like, one of your purposes in your lives. And I just want you to know that you're doing an amazing job in changing people's lives. Like, I really don't know if I didn't have the knowledge that I did going into that birth. You know that they were trying to kind of push me around with their decisions, even if it was a midwife and more like the natural. If I didn't listen to your guys' episodes, I would not have been prepared. So you guys are doing the good work, and I just could not say enough great things.